for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, April the 20th, 2019. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on how to have a stress-free life. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
It's taken me many, many years, and I haven't got there yet, but God has delivered me from letting things stress me out. The other day, Lorna and I were driving home. She passed the place we're going to turn off. You said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I said, "You know what? God knows. It's okay even if you're late. Because God has scheduled your steps. God might have been protecting us from a wreck or something."
That's right. That's right.
John 15:16 says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit will remain. And the only fruit that's going to remain is the fruit you produce when you're dead to yourself." The character and nature of Jesus being produced, manifested in your life is the only fruit that God's going to take into eternity. Everything else is wood, hay, and stubble. Thank God He loves us so much that He's disciplining us. Hebrews 4 says that we're to enter God's rest. There's a Sabbath rest for God's children. Every time you conquer a giant in your land, and the giants are the things you didn't conquer as children, the things you didn't conquer growing up, we didn't know how to. You know, I was thinking of my daddy. I was telling Laura the other day, my daddy was a good man, but he never had deliverance. He lived to 94, and he never had deliverance. If he had had deliverance, he'd have lived past 100, I know. But the last few years of his life, he ate pig skins, free toes, because Mom died in 2000. He died in 2009. He just ate junk. He would never cook for himself. But deliverance will extend your life, but you can't get delivered if you don't repent. Deliverance will increase your strength as you decrease yourself and let Jesus increase. It will increase your strength, your stamina, your everything, your life. So unrest is a curse. And so for us to get free, we've, number one, got to be born again. And let me just tell you, there's a lot of you that think you're saved, but you don't know that you know that you know. When you're born again, nobody can talk you out of it. If somebody can talk you out of your salvation, you need to get saved. Because that was what happened to me. I accepted the Lord. I believed in Jesus from the time I was a kid. The Bible says that the demons and Satan believe and tremble. They believe in the Jesus more than you do. And so, to be born again, you're going to have to be willing to surrender your life 100% to God. Not hold anything back. And then remove all the yokes that people are putting on your neck. Remove your self-inflicted yoke. The biggest yokes I've had that have been self-inflicted. We need to give up what we know so we can get what God knows. The secrets of the Lord are for those who fear Him. Those who fear Him turn away from evil. John 12 says, "I must give up my life unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies." I've already quoted that. Matthew 16:25 in the New Living Bible says, "The person who tries to preserve his life will lose it." Have you been trying to preserve your life? Have you been trying to do it yourself? I grew up in generations, Lauren and I, it was my cousin, we grew up in generations that just hang in there and let the front end drag. And it's taken years for God to break that. And He's used this, I think, to make me not so independent, to make me so dependent, and to refine me. I mean, everything I've gone through with my eyes has been for my purification. I've seen so much sin in my life through all of this. So much haughtiness and arrogance. And I thank God, even though it's the hardest thing I've ever gone through, I can thank God for it. And the Lord gave me some revelation the other day. When I was at the Beaumont Spiritual Warfare Conference, I told somebody, I said, if I could have any desire in this world other than wanting to be everything God created me to be, if I could have one desire, it would be to read a paper Bible again. I can read it online, but it's a struggle. But I can do it that way. But paper Bible, I've had a difficult time doing it. And she really confirmed what I knew in my heart. I was telling one of the girls, and she said, well, maybe God wants you to do it by faith. And that was a confirmation. So I made a determination in my heart that if I could only read a word an hour, I was going to read the Bible. I was going to do it as an act of faith. And so I was reading Hebrews about all the... And it's been a struggle. It's been very hard. Before, it was so hard that I would just give up because it was just too hard. But I've been able to read like 3 chapters a day, and it's difficult. But I've been doing it, and that's a miracle, because the Bible said that He sent His Word to heal me. He sent His Word to heal me. Jesus is the Word of God, and so I read all the Hebrew faith. I was reading Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, and that really ministered to me. And then when I was reading James, it said, was talking about faith without works is dead. And then it goes on to say that Abraham was justified by his works. And the revelation that came to me, God told Abraham to take his only son up the mountain and put a knife to him. And he told his servants, my son and I will return. We're going up the mountain to worship, and we're going to come back down, because God said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations through Isaac. And so the revelation came to me that if Abraham... said he had faith, but he didn't go up the mountain in obedience, his faith would have amounted to nothing. It wouldn't really be faith. And it's the same with us. It's like you don't obey to be saved, you obey because you are saved. Obedience is a fruit of salvation. And the revelation came to me that my works, if I say I believe God's going to heal my eyes, and I've been saying that, my works is to read the Bible. Even if it's one word an hour. I believe God's going to honor that. I believe God wants me to read the Bible more than I even want to read it. And if I could have any desire in this world, it'd be to be able to read my Bible again. And I've been reading it, so praise God. So bless the Lord. So faith without works is dead, and what God showed me is faith is obedience. It's not legalism. If you really have faith, you're going to believe God. Amen? So why don't you stand up and take all of your things.
All of these. Take all of your idols up the mountain and tell God, if you're to glorify your most me, to have them or not have them, I give them to you, but devil, you're bound in Jesus' name.
You know, if you just have a request, God says, make your request be known to God. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. But if there's fear, if there's anger, if there's hurt, you know, sometimes I feel like that maybe my kids are, and thank God I have good kids, but maybe sometimes I feel a little ignored. And that could hurt you. Lord, if it'll glorify you the most for every one of them to ignore me, so be it. But devil, you can't do it. And so everything that I think needs to happen, that I can stress over it, I take it up the mountain. Lord, if that'll glorify you the most, so be it. Let it go. All the things that would make me angry, I first deal with the idol behind it. Take it up the mountain. Everything that you're fearful of or you're worried about, take it up the mountain and let it go. God says, this is the confidence you can have toward Him. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, you already have what you asked for. So is it God's will that He be glorified?
Yes.
Just give you a few examples. God first showed me this when my son was living a homosexual lifestyle. I had watched a a crack documentary, and I was driving down the road, and it went, oh, what if he takes crack? But then the Spirit of God just took me over. I said, but God, if that's the only way he can know you, I ask you in the name of Jesus, let him take crack. But devil, you're not going to dead him in Jesus' name. He never took crack. My grandson David graduated from the University of Texas, and I knew he was called to the ministry, and he was going to go in the military, which is an honorable thing, but back then we had a president that might not even let him mention the name of Jesus. And so I grieved about that for about 3 months. And finally, I said, Lord, if it had glorified you the most for David to be a Marine, I ask you in the name of Jesus, put him in the Marines. But devil, you're not going to put him there. And I tell you, I never worried about it again. And that was a perfect love that cast out fear. I was saying, God, you know what I need, when I need it, if I need it, when to give it to me. You know David, you love him more than me. And he, within a few months, he hurt his knee, and that ended his military career, and he surrendered to ministry. Even though he's being a fireman now, he's got to make a living, but he's surrendered to ministry, and he can minister to the people he pulls out of wrecks and deliverance, and he knows about breaking soul ties. Another time, my son was moving up to Maine, and he lived real close to me, and I had two little granddaughters that I loved, and so I just said, Lord, if I never see Kyle again for the rest of my life, I ask you one thing, put him wherever he would glorify you the most, because I didn't want him to leave. But I said, put him wherever he would glorify you the most. Devil, you can't move him anywhere. And you know he lives 300 yards from me, and he's my pastor now. See, that's the perfect love that casts out fear. And you know, Bill Gothard, I have an illustration, but I'm not going to ask you to pull it up, but Bill Gothard has this illustration of this big lion roaring, and we want to run from the roar, right? When the devil scares you, you want to run from it. But basically, he's saying run into the roar. An old lion that's toothless, he roars, and he scares the little deer and the gazelles into the woods where the young lions are in there to eat them. So he's saying if you've got fear, run into the roar. In other words, call the devil's bluff. Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? God, if that'll bring you greater glory and honor, so be it. The devil, you're bound. You cannot touch me. And basically, I can say that's how I don't live in anger or fear or hurt or worry. No matter how who treats me a certain way or how I'm treated, it just doesn't matter anymore, because I'm seeing that God is taking care of everything. So much so that even hooking, when you have a problem with sin, even hooking this bracelet or this watch has been so difficult in the last few years that most of the time I don't even wear it. But lately, I've discovered that when I say, the minute I say, God help me, if I'm struggling, the minute I say, God help me, it's done just like that. And he wants to help you, but you've got to call on him. And you won't be calling on him if you couldn't call on your parents. Because that blocks you, that judgment you made against your parents blocks you from calling on God. And so when you take everything up the mountain, you're not stressing over nothing. And I'm, praise God, I'm not stressing over nothing anymore. Not that something won't come up, but if it does, I'm going to give it to God immediately. Amen? And even with the secretary, I ended up losing her, and I ran one ad in a paper, and the lady that responded to the ad lived in another town, and she just happened to pick up a paper. She didn't even subscribe to the paper, and she emailed me, and she said, I think I'm a fit for this job, and she's a better secretary than the one that left. So God knows what you need, when you need it, if you need it, when to give it to you. Amen? So trust him, and let me tell you, getting rid of these idols is a lifestyle of repenting of them one by one. Whatever's the biggest problem is what he wants to deal with next. And then he'll show you another one. And that's how you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You deal with your stuff, you confess your sins, you repent. And remember, if it's an addiction, give it up, give it to God as a sacrifice. And I did a message here called A Living Sacrifice. How give your food, give your idols, give whatever to God, And the minute, the struggle is in giving it up. But the minute you give it up, another law takes over and you don't even want it. Amen? Get in God's refuge, because when you're in God's refuge, you don't crave. You have self-control. But the being out of the control is being outside of God's refuge, and then you're out of control. He wants to break, that'll break addictions too. In Jesus' name. I've been addicted to diet pills. I've been addicted to caffeine, because I grabbed the caffeine after I got rid of the diet pills. And I just had to let it go. I remember the day that I lived in a little town, and my husband was president of the bank in this little bitty town. And we were going to hear one of a preacher that I loved. And so I had just read this little tract, My Heart, Christ Home. How many have seen that, read that little tract? Basically, a person invites Jesus into his house. And he looks in the refrigerator, and there's no beer, and there's no this. He looks there, there's no nothing. He looks there, no magazines are okay. But there's this one closet you don't want Jesus in, because I knew that the diet pills would fall out on Jesus if he opened that closet. And I remember telling the hairdresser, I went with two ladies, they were in the Baptist church with me, and one was a hairdresser. And I remember the day telling them what was in my closet. And I thought, oh dear God, I told it to the hairdresser in the town. Everybody in town's going to think that the banker's wife is a drug addict. And so I was like, I had been out on a limb, and I sawed myself off. And basically, he prayed with me, and I decided that I would go home and not take the diet pills. I laid down on the couch, and my blood pressure was like 85 over 60. And I had many times crawl up, taken a basket up the stairs. We lived upstairs. I'd have to confess, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I laid down on the couch thinking I was going to have a long winter's nap, because without the diet pills, I couldn't function. And I can tell you, God broke that addiction. But it was like, the preacher said, it's kind of like when you're wrestling with your brothers and sisters, and they're trying to pull you out of the room, and you grab the bedstead, and you grab the pillow, and you grab the spread, and then you get to the door, and you go like this. He said, just let go. It's kind of like if a person's drowning, and they don't know how to swim. They beat the water and they'll drown. All they have to do is lay back and float, and that's what God wants you to do. So, Lord, search my heart. Show me what you want to deal with today. I pray for the grace to live a lifestyle of repentance. In Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. In Jesus' name, and just deal with whatever the Lord shows you. Make an altar to God and take it up the mountain and let it go like Abraham. You say you have faith? Prove it by your obedience. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And then when you're through repenting, you can sit back down. And I break the power of fear of letting go. Fear that if they let go, all hell will break loose. I break the power of that lie in Jesus' name. Father, forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for fear, anxiety, stress. Forgive me for not producing fruit. Forgive me that I've lived after the flesh and I haven't been willing to give up my life that you might manifest the character and nature in my life. Jesus, I want you to walk around in my body and act like who you are. Forgive me for acting like who I am. Lord, forgive me for letting people control me. Forgive me for being a people pleaser, a man pleaser. Forgive me for being passive. Forgive me for being, in the name of Jesus, Lord, forgive me for procrastinating, which sin is rooted in fear of making a mistake. Forgive me for being afraid to make a mistake. Lord, it's okay for me to make a mistake. I don't have to be perfect. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. God, forgive me for tension, strain, tightness in my chest. Lord, forgive me for not producing fruit so that you could so that you would remove the hedge. God, forgive me for being a fruitless Christian. Forgive me for being worldly. Forgive me for holding back because I don't want to be labeled a fanatic or a holy person or weird. Forgive me for pride and arrogance and boastfulness. God, forgive me for stressing over my marriage, over my children, over my home, over my finances. Forgive me for stressing over people not loving me or ignoring me. Forgive me, Lord, for stressing over the fact that I'm treated like a non-person. God, forgive me for stressing over the people that have hurt me, stressing over what I think my husband ought to do or my wife needs to do. Lord, help me deal with my own stuff. I want to say this to the marriage people. 99% of the time, what bothers you about your mate goes back to your childhood. So you're living with your parents. And, you know, God's trying to deal with you in areas that God has to show you. He's mirroring through that mate what he wants to change in you. And you take it back. It's no use telling your husband, you need to love me like Christ knows the church. Well, you need to quit being a domineering, rebellious woman. Go in your prayer closet and say, how does this relate to my childhood? And regardless of your circumstances, you'll change for sure. They may or may not change, but you won't even care if they change. And I don't care, you can have the best parents in the whole world, but they're not perfect. My parents were not perfect, and there's been plenty of things that have pushed my button in the past. And I thought it was the turkey I was living with. My husband said to me one day, if I'd have known the way you were, I'd have never married you. And I said, well, honey, I'd marry you all over again. He went, you would? I said, yeah, where do you think I got the material for this seminar? But not just dealing with him. But you know, every time I would go, I did do this right. I would go to God and say, Lord, how do I deal with this? What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me? And everything you learn is a principle that you can share with somebody else. So live, be content where God's got you, and let God deal with your issues. Because the wife is pushing the husband's buttons, his mother, daddy buttons, and the husband's pushing the wife's mother, daddy buttons. So just see it as something God wants to deliver you from, rather than see it as, oh, this turkey is driving me crazy. Okay? Praise God. So Lord, forgive me for thinking it's my boss, the turkey I'm living with, my husband, my wife, my children. Forgive me for idolatry. Lord, I want to give up my life. I want to be born again if I've never been born again. Lord, forgive me for not being willing to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you. Forgive me for hanging on to certain areas of my life. Forgive me that things mean too much to me. Forgive me that some people mean too much to me. Forgive me for making idols out of people. They've rejected me. Lord, forgive me for not considering the lilies. Forgive me for not trusting you. Forgive me for hatred. Lord, forgive me for hating myself. Forgive me for idolatry that's taken away my peace. Forgive me for anger and bitterness and depression and discouragement and hurt. Forgive me for not trusting you. Forgive me for being like that fig tree in the vineyard that didn't produce fruit. God, I pray that the years of my life in the future from this day forward will be fruitful years. Years that produce good fruit. I don't want to be cut off before my time to leave this earth. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God, forgive me for a cry of forgive me for being fruitless after all you've done for me. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for idolatry that's caused you to remove the hedge, broken the hedge down. And deliverance is rebuilding the hedge. It's like the wall of Jerusalem that got torn down because of sin and reproach. And deliverance is rebuilding your spiritual walls and shutting up the doorways where the enemy's gotten ground and consumed you. God, thank you that I'm confident of this very thing, that you who begun a good work in me will perform it into the day of the Lord Jesus. Forgive me for murmuring and complaining and griping and grumbling and not counting all joy, knowing that the testing of my faith is producing endurance. Thank you, Lord, that you use my trials to refine me, to show me what you want to deal with in me. In Jesus' name, I ask you to rebuild the hedge today, Lord, in lives. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, you give them the grace to live a lifestyle of repentance. Forgive me for letting the wrong rock produce the vine of Sodom in my life instead of the true rock of Jesus producing good fruit in my life. Forgive me for griping about the pruning, you ironing out the wrinkles, when God, it's necessary for me to be a holy vessel unto you. Forgive me for turning against you, being like Jezreel, worshiping demons, worshiping idols, that's caused you to turn me over to anger and jealousy and distress and famine and hunger and plague. Forgive me for Tara. And Lord, I make an altar to you. I choose to give up my life. I choose to forgive all the people that have hurt me, and you know, you've shown me who they are. Forgive me for hurting other people. And Lord, I forgive myself for being a fruitless Christian. God, I pray today will be a new day for me. I take everything you've shown me up the mountain, and Lord, I let it go. If it glorify you the most for me to be treated such a way or not treated such a way, I just live for your glory in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you another time when my son died of AIDS, I had a sinus infection that lasted a year and a half, and my mother and daddy said, you better go get an AIDS test. And I remember in the shower, you know, when you make a deal with God, you know where you're at, God speaks to you. And I said, Lord, I don't think I had fear of getting an AIDS test, because I was going to do it the next morning. And I said, Lord, I don't think I could be as brave as my son was. But God, and Lord, I live for your glory, and I don't want AIDS, but if it would glorify you the most for me to have AIDS, let me have AIDS, but devil, you can't give it to me. In Jesus' name, and the next day I sat down and had an AIDS test. There was not one fear. That is the perfect love that casts out fear. In Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name, I want to live for your glory. I haven't lived for your glory. If you're a husband, Father, forgive me for letting my wife control me. And wives, forgive your husband. Forgive yourself. Ask God to forgive you for letting yourself be controlled by demons, if that's the case. And I'm not talking about being rebellious to authority. God commands us to be rebellious, to be submissive to authority. Rebellion is as witchcraft. Okay, but I can tell you it's witchcraft if you're obeying demons. Because, you know, that God told the disciples, he said, they had warned the disciples, you can't teach in the name of Jesus. And they said, we have to obey God more than men. So concentrate. If you're married, forget what's going on with your mate and begin to deal with your issues. And that'll heal your marriage. You know, Randy and Callie and Patty and Kevin have great marriages because they practice these principles. Lord, thank you that you'll have compassion on me when you see that the idols are gone. I thank you for that. Forgive me, Lord, for sexual immorality, impurity. Forgive me for sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. Forgive me for enmity, strife, jealousy. Outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. God, forgive me for envying, drunkenness, carousing, practicing these things in Jesus' name. And I want to be born again today, Lord, if I'm not. I want to leave this place knowing that I know that I know that I know that I've been a new creation in Christ in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I take all of my idols up the mountain. And if I need to have them, I ask you to give them to me. But if I don't need them, Satan, I declare that you cannot hold me in captive bondage any longer in Jesus' name. I let go of my life, Lord. And my life is what I've been trusting in. What I've been looking to make me happy, I give it up. I let go. Forgive me for being like Martha. not being willing to listen to you. Forgive me for being anxious about everything, fearful. And Lord, I just, in Jesus' name, I just command every demon that came in through this idolatry to go. All spirits of fear of letting go, all spirits of self-hatred, all spirits of anger, bitterness, resentment, idolatry, harlotry. Forgive me for being a spiritual harlot and a spiritual adulteress against you, Lord. Forgive me for having other gods before you, committing spiritual adultery that would cause my stomach to swell and my thigh to waste away, in Jesus' name. All spirits that came in through idolatry, depression, discouragement, fear of man, timidity, fear of saying it wrong, fear of doing it wrong, fear of failure, perfectionism has to go. Every lie that everybody else is better than me, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Every lie that says I have to turn the potter's wheel, in Jesus' name, Lord, I jerk them all on the potter's wheel in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I just I come against despair, hopelessness, intimidation, timidity, shyness. I break the power of the words that they're timid in Jesus' name. Lord, I loose boldness from the Lord upon you. Lord, you said the godly are as bold as lions in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command unbelief and doubt, lies and lying to go in Jesus' name. Stubbornness, rebellion, antichrist in Jesus' name. Every demon that came in through movies, through books, leave now in Jesus' name. All spirits of idolatry of men, idolatry of things, go now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, every lying spirit has to leave now in the name, power, blood, and by the authority of Jesus. I command spirits of rejection, self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self has to go in Jesus' name. I break the power of bitterness. I break the power of unforgiveness. I break the power of the tormentors. I break the power of plague, sickness, distress, disease, jealousy, envy has to go in Jesus' name. Harlotry, pharmakia, you have to go. Lewdness, wanton spirits. All spirits that came in through sexual sin has to go. All spirits of lewdness has to go. Lasciviousness, licentiousness, drunkenness, carousing, a party spirit. Adultery, fornicating spirits have to go now in Jesus' name. Spirits that came in through pornography, you leave now in the name of Jesus. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Fear of giving up, fear of letting go has to go in Jesus' name. Fear of man that brings a snare has to go. I unsnare them in the name of Jesus. I take them out of the snare in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, spirits of masturbation has to go in Jesus' name. I break your power, all perverse spirits, all perverted spirits. I tear out the vine of Sodom in Jesus' name. I tear out the wrong vine, the wrong rock. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power. All spirits of fruitlessness has to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of unbelief, doubt, spirits that disbelieve the Bible, you have to go in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Spirit of harlotry has to go. Whoredoms, harlotry spirits have to go. Seducting spirits, seducing spirits has to go in Jesus' name. All the demons of the DNA of men that women have had sex with, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the name of Jesus. All spirits of sensuality, potions, spells, all spirits that came in through witchcraft, we break the power of every word cursed in Jesus' name. Go now in Jesus' name. Spirits of weakness has to go. Lameness, crippling spirits have to go. All spirits that have tried to cripple them in Jesus' name. Spirits of neck problems, stubborn, stiff neck has to go. Lord, forgive them for being stubborn, stiff neck, bowing their neck. Digging in, I break the power of every spirit of that's hindered their toes from kicking against the path in Jesus' name. All crookedness, perverseness has to go in Jesus' name. Wanton spirits have to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of heresy has to go. Every lying spirit you have to leave in the name of Jesus. Dagon, Python, Leviathan, Behemoth has to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, spirits of physical drunkenness, spiritual drunkenness, get out now. In Jesus' name, drunk through drugs, drunk through alcohol, has to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of gluttony, overindulgence, self-indulgence, has to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. You have to leave in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Take a deep breath and blow it out. Cough it out in Jesus' name. Marriage-breaking demons, you have to go. Spirits of division, you have to go in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every lying spirit that lies to us about our mates has to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit that lies to us about our family member has to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of hurt, broken-hearted spirits have to go. All spirits of broken heart, I bind them up, I press them out, I bandage them, I swap them with oil in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And all spirits of trauma that's come in through wrecks, in Jesus' name, trauma of childhood has to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit that's lied to them about God, in Jesus' name, fainting spirits have to go. Unloving antichrist spirits have to go. Self-hatred, self-bitterness, self-rejection, unforgiveness of self has to go. Torture, torment, you have to leave now in Jesus' name. Poverty, you have to go in Jesus' name. Selfishness, greed, the love of money, you have to go in Jesus' name. Stingy spirits that would keep husbands from giving to their wives or wives from giving to their husbands, go now. All spirits of frigidity, all spirits of over addiction to sex has to go in Jesus' name. All spirits that would cause a wife to be frigid or a husband to be frigid, impotence has to go now in Jesus' name. Fear of not performing has to go in Jesus' name. All performance demons have to leave in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. If there's anybody that wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'll get the prayer team to come up here, Angie and Callie and Randy and Deborah and Jane, if you're back there. Did I leave anybody out? If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and you've never been baptized, come forward and we'll pray for you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.